And hello and welcome to the APR Podcast. I'm J.P. Arnold, your APR Chair for the Pikes Peak Chapter here in beautiful Colorado Springs. And that's my 10-year-old son, Isaiah. He is just knocking it out of the park with the drums. And I said, Isaiah, I need a podcast bumper intro. And he said, Dad, no worries. I got you covered. And gave him some cash money. Here we are. Thanks. It brings up the energy. I love it. Thank you, my son. And here we are. So before we start, I want to direct you to two wonderful resources. There's the PRaccreditation.org website, as well as the PRSAColoradoSprings.org/APR. So the PRaccreditation.org, that is the mothership's website there in New York, the Universal Accreditation Board. Great information for candidates, potential candidates, for current APRs, APR chairs, and APR panelists to kind of help you navigate through that. And then I kind of fill in some gaps on the Pikes Peak Chapter APR website. And just, you know, there's a blog there, kind of my journey in a blog format, as well as these podcasts are there. And these podcasts are on Anchor FM, Spotify. I'm trying to get them on iTunes as well, too. So those are two wonderful resources. Please check those out. Next, we've talked about why you should become an APR, when you should start your journey, which is now. You need to download the APR study guide, start with the questionnaire, and then the criteria needed to submit the application. We've talked about the timeline, once you are approved to start your APR journey, what you need to do month to month in that 1 year timeline. You finish in 1 year, you get $110 cash back. What an incentive, $110 cash back. And plus, you don't have to spend any more additional money as well, too. So you're saving money and getting money at the same time if you finish in that one-year timeline. We also had Fred Morgan, APR, fellow PRSA, give us some do's and don'ts on what a successful APR candidate looks like. So thanks to Fred. He was my APR chair, and he was just so valuable of a resource. And I want to be that same value for you and your journey. So one of the things, as a retired Army officer, I worked with some incredible leaders, 3 4-star generals, brigade commanders, full-bore colonels. And what I always saw was a great leader led from the front, led by example. So if I'm going to ask you to start this challenging process, I've got to share my ups and downs. And that's kind of part of the package. So this podcast, I'm going to split it up in two podcasts. I'm going to talk about my academic and test experience and my work experience to kind of help you understand kind of where I started from. Okay, so number one, you need a mentor, you need a coach, and you need a chief encourager. We're going to wash, rinse, and repeat that. You need a mentor, you need a coach, and you need a chief encourager. I had several APRs that were encouraging to me. I also had my family backing, my workplace backing, and then people just kind of, when I had some ups and downs, hey, what do you think? And I got sound advice. And when I recommend a mentor, I'm looking at someone 20 years your senior. 20 years or more your senior. When you take the exam, you want to have a mentor who has recently taken the exam in the past couple of years, just to kind of give you some insight, because those folks who have taken the exam 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it was on a typewriter. In fact, Fred Morgan said he turned it in, and he had several months before he even found out the results. There were only two people grading the APR exams. So you got to look at, now we can click a button and find out unofficially that we passed or did not pass the exam. So I'm going to kind of unpack some ideas. I'm going to be kind of free-flowing, freestyle. I have got an outline, but I think you need to kind of understand my emotions in the test and what I went through and how I persevered. So first and foremost, I want to give some street cred and special thanks to my dad. He passed away a couple of years ago. He grew up without a dad, and he was a foster kid, went to several different families, and some good, some bad. He also stayed at friends' homes for months on end, and I talked to them, some of his friends up in the Portland, Seattle area, and he always was looking forward. He didn't come up with excuses. He had plenty he could have given. He just kept moving forward. And oh, by the way, he influenced thousands of students, thousands of people he touched personally to help them in their journey in life. And so he was always an encourager for me. He got his master's degree in counseling in his, I think, late 50s. And he became a high school counselor. So just inspiring. And he is really kind of my bedrock of, you know, how I move forward. Okay, so my academic and test experience. I graduated in high school with honors, a small school in rural Arkansas in the Delta. I wasn't the valedictorian or salutatorian, but I did graduate with honors. Nothing, you know, it was nothing quite spectacular. I was able to get a ROTC scholarship. And I graduated with honors, though, as well in grad school, which was top 10% Phi Kappa Phi Honor Society. But I was in the Army Advanced Civil Schooling Program where I was a full-time student and I was still getting paid. So if I didn't make that honors, I'm like, there's something wrong. I had plenty of time to devote to my studies. So I have a mass communication degree, Bachelor's of Arts from Ouachita Baptist University in Arkansas. And they had news writing, public relations. I also took broadcast. I worked in radio. In fact, I worked at 91.1 KSWH, and I worked at a civilian CHR format radio station in Hot Springs, Arkansas, 106 KLAZ. Oddly enough, a sidebar, Bobby Bones worked at both of those places about 5 years after I left. So he's incredible. He's on TV all the time, American Idol. So it's kind of neat. I've never met him. Don't know him, but we both DJed at the same places. Kind of cool. So that's where I really got my passion of working in communications and PR was my undergrad. And then I was able to get my Master's of Science from Middle Tennessee State University. It is AEJMC accredited, and that is the Association for Education in Journalism and Mass Communication. It's quantitative and qualitative research. Some graduate level programs are one or the other. MTSU is both. And research is one of the main things in the RPIE process. Number one step, right? And MTSU's, their program, mirrored the APR study guide. And so I felt very confident going into that. Wasn't exactly, you know, all the definitions and whatnot, but it mirrored, you know, you look at research, planning, evaluating, RPIE, leading the public relations function, managing relationships, applying ethics and law, managing issues and crisis communication, understanding communication models, theories, and the history of our profession. So I was very privileged and honored to be able to do that. And it kind of just happened. And thanks to the Army and thanks for MTSU for making that come to a realization. So with AEJMC, there's only two schools in Colorado that meet that criteria and two schools in Arkansas, just to kind of let you know. And one of the things, and this was the why, you know, different schools have different formats and different learning objectives. But the APR, you know, everyone knows, hey, you got to go through those things I listed right there. So when a hiring manager sees you're an APR, they know exactly what they're getting. You've gone through the questionnaire, you've gone through the panel, and you passed a 3-hour and 45-minute exam. So that's kind of cool. Speaking of exam, I'm a very anxious exam taker. We took the ACT in Arkansas, and I scored above average. I wasn't obviously at 36. I wasn't low 30s. I had friends that were low 30s. I had friends that were upper 20s. I was not that. So I think that's something to consider, you know, kind of going into the exam, making sure you understand the format, you understand how you're going to spend your time. You only have a little over a minute per question. So how are you going to pass on a question? And so I spent some time on the practice exam test and kind of my methodology of going through the test. You know, do you spend 4 minutes on one question, or you say, let's go to the next one? Do you strike through obvious answers that are not correct? And then I also highlighted key words in the exam itself, the case study. You can highlight in the question key components. So that's something you want to do. As well, since I am an anxious test taker, I got there a couple of days. I found the restroom. I found the parking spot I needed to get. It was 8 o'clock, I think, in the morning, maybe 9. So I got up early that day, had a good breakfast. I was in the peak of my mid-morning, if you would, waking up earlier than usual. And so you want to do that. And for me, on the APR exam, I score between 75 and low 90s. And so, you know, 87, 85 was kind of my area on the APR exam. And again, you find out right away. Fred Morgan, he had, months later, only two people grading the test, and he had a typewriter. How about that? So let's kind of talk about my work experience. You can find it on LinkedIn. And I do that for a couple of reasons. I'm always curious about what my father did. He obviously told me, but I'm always curious going through his stuff. And so for my son and daughter, I say, hey, look, you can go on LinkedIn and see exactly what I put, pretty much everything on LinkedIn. And so there's no question. I have all my certificates framed in my office here and office at work from my military days. So it is, you know, I want them to know exactly what I did. And, you know, maybe it will help them, maybe not, but it's there for them. And there for you as well. That's the cool thing about LinkedIn. You can see someone's journey. If they are a director of public relations, vice president, a chief marketing officer, you can see exactly their journey, where they went to school, what they majored in, the first few jobs they got, how they were able to amplify their career and move forward. So that's something cool to look at. So I graduated from Wichita Baptist University. And I wasn't an honors student there, but I ended up going into computers in the Army, working in computers, information technology. I'm going to pause real quick. And so the Army, you cannot get into public affairs till you're midway through your career. The Air Force and Navy, you can start day one. The Army, they want you to kind of experience the military before you are a spokesperson for the military. Fully understand that. As well, I would say that your typical Army PAO, they're going to be working in, it's almost kind of like nonprofit in some ways, but you're not doing fundraising, you're not doing fundraising. It could be, you know, local government, city or county level, but it's amplified. And I was so blessed. I got to work. My first interview was live and with the BBC. I worked with the New York Times, CNN, ABC News, all these incredible national, international level media outlets. I worked with the Nashville market, the Seattle, Tacoma market. Had some really good experiences. I was with the 101st Airborne Division, was my first public affairs job, and it was kind of like a director level job. And that was in Iraq, a 15-month deployment. And then as well, I wrote stories, I did some video, did some crisis communication. I also went to the Defense Information School, DINFOS. And I should have mentioned that earlier. Apologize. But I attended DINFOS, and that's a 3.5-month school. And so that's kind of another area where I kind of looked at my academic experience. I wasn't an honor graduate there, but again, you know, getting things done, meeting these above the standard, and moving on. Next, I was able to work in advertising marketing for three-star command called a Sessions Command, which is no longer there. And we were in charge of recruiting for enlisted as well as officers for ROTC and reserve. And so in that capacity, I traveled around the United States with Weber Shamwick and McCann Erickson. Weber Shamwick was our PR firm. Just, I pinched myself that I was able to work with that wonderful team. They were amazing. I learned so much. We worked with McCann Erickson out of downtown Manhattan. Again, I learned, it was just every day, I was just learning like 30 things every day. It was such an honor to be part of that team. And so I was able to learn kind of the civilian side when you look at PR boutiques, PR agencies, that I was able to understand that and very grateful for all of my experiences and especially for that one. And then my next job, I was out in the Seattle area at Fort Lewis or Joint Base Lewis-McChord, and I was a social media and website chief, as well as I did some media relations, did some writing. And so we traveled to Australia and Japan and Hawaii. We were in charge of the Asia-Pacific area. And so then I got a different perspective there. And that's where I got introduced to PRSA. And it was just a blessing to be part of the Puget Sound Sound chapter, a couple of their events, breakfast events. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, my introduction to PRSA. I was also a PAO planner, public affairs planner for three-star command in Afghanistan. And in that capacity, that was the first time I learned about the APR. I worked at ISAF Joint Command, which is no longer there. And I went over to ISAF, which we were both in Kabul. I was at the airport, and a colleague of mine was at ISAF headquarters and went over to go talk to him. And he is Army officer as well, too, and he said, yeah, I'm going to pursue the accreditation in public relations. I'm like, what's that? He said, yeah, it's called the APR, and it's how you get accredited. So I went back and Googled it, and I saw that I did not meet all the criteria. And we talked about the criteria needed to submit your application. Well, I was not there yet. And so I thought, well, that's something I might be able to do in the future. And I kind of put it on pause. So here we are. Pretty exciting. As well, here in Colorado Springs, I was communication manager for a nonprofit organization. I did media relations. I did community relations, internal communications. I wrote for the president. And it was, I learned a lot at this nonprofit. It was great. And was able to expand my understanding of how you work in friend raising and fundraising. And it was a good deal. Learned a lot there. And then I'm currently at an engineering company, mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineering company, and I work in business development and marketing. And so in that capacity, I am doing the same thing. I'm writing, preparing images, doing community engagement, and working to develop business. And so it's the same skill sets that I'm using in my past jobs. I'm still doing it, a little bit different outcomes, but the same thing. And so I feel really fortunate to have done the jobs that I've been up to work in, public affairs and public relations, communications, marketing, business development, and my academic background. I just pinched myself that I could obtain those degrees, certainly helpful in my APR journey. But you will find out in the next podcast that it wasn't all roses all the time in my one-year journey. And I look forward to sharing that with you in my next podcast. And I'm so grateful, so honored. I just feel privileged to be able to be part of your journey. And all the best to you. Good luck. And we'll talk to you next time.